Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play.
Happy Friday. It's off to a very bizarre start here for Joe Lowe and Divs 95.7 The Game. Langford just casually taking his show well into our show.
Floppy.
Completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. When you tell Tyler Beatty to get off the mound, we got to bring the bullpen in. And this isn't a great analogy because I don't want to be the bullpen, but damn it, get out of there. You can't just stay hanging out on the mound.
Get out of there, Steven. Get out of there.
He's more the opener. He's our Liam Hendricks to your Homer Bailey. Sorry about that.
By the end of the show, we'll get to the bottom of that. I'd imagine you'll be putting a shirt on at some point before the end of the show.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Just cooling off, definitely. Got a towel. I'm pretty much like a shirt.
Can you stop pointing that thing at me, please?
Pretty much a shirt.
Seriously. You can cover your man boob there if you'd like.
Man,
welcome back, Anna. Great to have you.
Yeah, happy to be back.
Sure you're thrilled.
Good morning, Anna. Good to see you.
Yeah, good
She's
to
emailing
see
HR
you
as
too.
We speak.
I'm posting up on social at Joe Lowe and Dibs the picture of what we have to see every morning.
Thank
here.
You. Go ahead and CC me on your complaint so I can make sure I'm a co-signer on the suit.
Not every morning.
Class action lawsuit.
Right.
Class action.
Oh, no.
HR man. Grievance. Man, there are like 11 right. people on this grievance,
including people across the street.
You can't see out that window.
No doubt.
Oh, man.
No
All
doubt.
Right. Good stuff. Today, we got a loaded guest roster today. Rod Woodson, the Hall of Famer at 8 o'clock. Joe Theismann, another Super Bowl champ. He's at 8:30. Michael Lombardi, a three-time Super Bowl champ at 9:05. We got five rings on the show today. That's big. Real big. We're going to begin with a team that won a series of rings, but, well, kind of has fallen on tough times. And I don't know. Let's get into a highlight from yesterday. Oh, come on. That's not fair. Now, that's not fair. Now, that's what you would play in the wake of a 1-0 loss to the Cubs had the pitching performance been poor. But yesterday, Jeff Samardzija looked outstanding yet again. 7 innings pitched, 2 hits, just 1 earned run. Unfortunately, that was not enough of an effort. You lose 12-11 two nights ago. You lose 1-0 yesterday to the Chicago Cubs. And lo and behold, it's a sweep. It's a sweep on the north side. You're going to be coming back today. You have a day off. You got the Bay Bridge series this weekend, but the question everyone is asking in the wake of yesterday's defeat, is this playoff run over? Mathematically, it's not.
Right.
But is it over for all intents and purposes?
It is for all intents and purposes. When you put up 11 and lose and you come back and you get a shark gem and lose, you get swept. You're coming home against the hottest baseball team in the history of baseball in the Oakland A's. So you're in a tight spot. You'll be playing on the road, quote-unquote, in front of maybe 45 or 50,000 at the Collie as they open up Mount Davis. Even if you sweep that series, you're sitting 6 back low. I believe you're behind 5, if not 6 teams. It's tough sledding for this Giant team.
It really is. They open up the mount for this one, huh?
So yeah, the mount's going to be open.
He got all excited.
Yeah. You said, whoa.
In the microphone. Exactly.
There's something special about the Coliseum when they have, you know, big crowds, whether it's the wild card game or a playoff series or when they open up the mount for the Giants. The Collie gets fun now when you get that 40,000 plus in there.
Oh, no question. That place is going to be rocking and rolling. That was a tough loss last night. Like you talked about yesterday, Joe and Dibs, you guys were saying, hey, the Sharks been pitching outstanding. You know, we had, you know, some guests come on yesterday, Pablo, and he talked about, hey, look, this team has been playing unbelievable, especially when the Shark has taken them out. The guy pitched unbelievable. One run. They lost a 1-0 nothing. Whereas the bats, it's too bad because the Giants really had a chance to win that game if they just had some bats.
21.5 back of the Los Angeles Dodgers. That was never really something we were discussing, which, by the way, again with the walk-off last night. Again.
Enough.
That team is unkillable this year during the regular season. Toronto had them. It was a beautiful performance from Jacob Wagnisback. And I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I think I'm getting close enough that you know who I'm speaking about. You know it's not Mike Mussina. You know I'm not talking about Mike Mussina when I say Jacob Wagyusback, but you're probably not sure if I'm talking about the guy you know as Wagyusback or if it's some other pronunciation. But regardless, that kid has now spun six solid outings in a row. He's been pitching really well, limited the Dodgers to nothing. Nothing. And then the three runs in the ninth to win the game. You cannot kill the Dodgers, but that's not what we're focused on. We'll be focusing on that, much like Farhan Zaidi will be focusing on that in the future. A game back of Arizona for second in the West. And now this is where it gets dicey. 7.5 back of Washington for wild card one. 6 games back of Chicago for wild card two. The Mets, Phillies, Brewers, and Arizona are all in front of you in your path to a wild card spot. This is how you know it's over. And it doesn't mean you have to shed any tears. This has been a fun season, much more entertaining than I think any of us gave them credit for before the year started. But 8-12 in August, after that awesome run through July, 8-12 in August, 1-7 against current playoff teams. And that's the deciding factor. When you've gone against the best in the business, Washington, you got swept. The Cubs, you got swept. The A's, you split and you've got two this weekend. You're 1-7 against current playoff teams. That's how you know this thing is over. Doesn't mean you shed any tears because it's been fun, and there'll be some great moments between now and the end of the season. But that's how you know. You've had some measuring stick series, and you've come up empty in all of them.
And basically, if you look back 5 weeks, 6 weeks from now, you're in the exact same position you were then, which is a couple games below 500, run differential in between minus 50 and minus 60. They're at minus 56 right now. Ultimately, if you look at that run differential, the expected win total is about 78 or 79, which is going to end up being 7 or 8 games short of the wild card. So you're sitting now about where you should be based on your performance throughout the entirety of the year. But you mentioned it, Joe. What a great July. There you have 3, 4, maybe even 5 great stories that emerge, whether it's Steven Vogt as the backup. Obviously, Mike Yastrzemski has been incredible. You found Dickerson. Slater's contributed. Up and down, you got Logan Webb to look forward to, who was absolutely dealing in his first start. So even if they do fall short, and it looks like they will, a lot of great things from today or this year to take away.
Yeah, we said all along it'd be that number between 85 to 87. They needed to stay in the hunt to try to get to the wild card, and look like that number's still the number that they need to get to, and it's creeping away from them. It's starting to get out of hand and starting to look like it's getting out of reach. It's pretty much short of a miracle, because you would have to get hot. I'm talking really hot for them to stay in this race.
Wins above replacement, also known as WAR. It's a very popular metric to determine value. It exploded onto the national scene roughly 10 years ago or so, when you had Miguel Cabrera winning the Triple Crown in the American League, but Mike Trout had the higher WAR. And the sabermeticians, the stat heads, made the case that Trout was your most valuable player because the all-encompassing WAR metric, which determines value, had him as the most valuable player in the game. The older generation said you never get a Triple Crown winner. Very, very rare. Cabrera has to win the award. Cabrera won the award, but it was one of the all-time great baseball debates that helped usher in this new era of metrics. Do you know who's number one on the Giants roster this year in WAR, wins above replacement, which would determine who is the most valuable of the Giants?
My guess would be Yaz, if I had to make a guess, although...
Who hasn't been with them since day one, which
right,
is a good guess.
But he's coming up on 20 home runs. It's interesting because there's a bunch of guys, I looked about a month ago, and there's a bunch of guys in a tight pack
in the
WAR stat. Lo, who do you think it would be?
Shoot, I was going to say the Shark, but Yaz is good. Pilar's been pretty good. He's been, you know, hitting for average, you know. And
it's funny you said the Shark, because I almost wanted to change my guess, because he's been unreal for two months.
But it probably would be Yaz. But you think about Pilar, what he's been doing as far as hitting, getting on base average. You think about some of the things these guys have been doing.
Pilar's been a great acquisition.
He has.
He's a fun player. He makes plays defensively.
Defensively,
spots
my
offensively.
God. Yeah.
Three-way tie. Evan Longoria, Yaz, and Bumgarner for second. Samardzija.
Yes. I knew you were scared to do it. I was like, gosh, should I say it?
Too bad you went Yaz. It's a shame, because I left it there for you on a tee, and I even actually re-encouraged you to go Shark, but instead.
He wanted to say Shark, but he was like, God, it couldn't be, but I said
But yeah. I already had my guess
in. He set himself
in.
Up perfectly. He took Yaz. Yeah. He set you up for Shark so
Man.
That if it turned out to be Shark, he could say this. He kind of grabs a piece of
right.
the
You're
correct
right.
answer.
You're
but
right.
if it doesn't happen and it's Yaz, hey, I said Yaz. I
Yaz,
had it all along.
You're I did. Right. But I gave you the Shark and you turned your back, coach.
We're on to Cincinnati.
You got to ask yourself what you can expect from him next season. We thought this was just a dead contract. He might actually be a pretty valuable piece next year and beyond. And oh, by the way, did anyone see that Jalen Davis hit another homer for AAA Sacramento last night?
That was on fire.
Since this dude came over in the Sam Dyson trade, he's played 18 games. He's hitting 403. He's got a Bonzian OPS of 1.434. And in those 18 games, 10 homers, 23 RBIs, 18 runs, and 11 walks wow. as they smoke El Paso 9-3. We gave you that one. That was one of our locks of the day yesterday, was Sacramento over El Paso.
Wow.
That was one of our locks. That's what we do around here.
That's all we
Triple
do.
A locks.
Those numbers, Joe, are unbelievable. I mean,
the kid's incredible. I can't wait to see him up here in September.
Yeah, I think no one
get
can
the jersey.
Wait.
Get the Wishnowsky jersey. Get the Jalen Davis
okay,
jersey.
Okay, let's do it. A guy, Joe, that you talked about last year, the year before, you're saying people said this guy, you get him and hope that he becomes a great pitcher. You talked about how hard he can pitch and all the way he can throw. Said he was tough. And we're talking about the shark. But you said, man, but you didn't know if this guy was, this is where people thought he could be. Is this too much where he's at? You know, because you said that, hey, this guy, potential, people think that this shark could be unreal. He struggled. But now are we watching a guy that's pitching above himself? Or is this what people thought that he could become? And this is the money. This is why they paid him that healthy contract.
That's a great question. 10 starts since the beginning of July. In those 10 starts, the Giants are 7-3. He's got an ERA of 2.00. He's given up 2 or fewer earned runs in 9 of his last 10 starts. I think this is a bit above, but I think he could pitch more to this than what we saw last year. This is why he's stuck around for so many years. This is why he just hit 10 years of service time in Major League Baseball, which is a huge milestone. Now, let that marinate, because I got something big for you. Got something real big for you. I know you're going to like this big man. If you think you're going to test positive for your drug test today, you're not. What you saw on TV last night is very, very explainable. You were not hallucinating. Joe Lo and Dibs, back with that next year on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right. It felt like I was on drugs last night, but I was not on drugs. Had probably a bit too much wine. But that's a story for another day. You don't hallucinate off wine. And I felt like I was hallucinating watching this Raiders-Packers preseason game from Winnipeg, because I'm seeing goal line formations on the 11. I'm watching guys throw back corner fades to the 5, and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is going on? Well, before the game, both teams got up there. They're working out on the field. The field's apparently a mess, and they make the decision that, A, rather than cancel the game, they're just going to play on an 80-yard field. So instead of the end zone starting on the goal line, the end zones were moved out to the 10-yard line. The 10-yard line was the goal line.
No kickoffs.
Right, no kickoffs, and the Packers were like, forget this, and sat all their starters. But shout out Gruden and the Oakland Raider Booster Club. Now 3-0 straight up, 3-0 ATS, which is against the spread. You're making crazy money on them. And shout out Nathan Peterman, who's the preseason version of John Elway, leading them down the field at the end of the game for the game-winning field goal. That was, I mean, come on. Were you getting on that field last night if you're an 11-year veteran?
No, it was absolutely crazy. You're watching this, and you see him catch a ball in the flat, and he runs the guy over, and the guy just like, Green Bay Packers, like, what are you doing? You've already scored. He's trying to still run to the fullback 41.
I didn't know
like,
what was going on.
Slammed him on the ground. The guys are almost fighting because they're thinking they don't know if it's score. Guys are throwing balls, fading, still trying to go in the end zone. Now, that absolutely, the Raiders get stuck with, I'm telling you, they're the whipping boys. Honestly, I don't care how you look at it. They go to places, and it's just, whether it's Mexico City, last night, you see how it's just, they're traveling more than any team in the league again this year. Next week, they're on the road already. They're staying out there. I mean, it's just, it's crazy, man.
Well, before we crack out the violins, let's look a little bit at the history of the Raiders suing the National Football
League.
But
is it their guy's fault, though, Daniel? With all due respect. Okay, they are suing. But
he did say with all due respect.
Would you mind if I just reviewed the history of the Raiders versus the NFL? Before you burst in and try to shout me down,
yes,
still
Samardzija.
In a towel, by the way.
Still shirtless. I noticed still shirtless. Segment number two.
Still shirtless after all these years.
I have
a great R&B song.
Picture posted at Joe Low and Dibs.
A towel wrapped around you is not even close to a shirt. It's closer to a poncho than it is a shirt.
Like a black Marcus Aurelius.
Somewhat, yeah, it's a toga. I'm afraid to look at the lower half right now. But
and Marcus Aurelius was that rib. You look like Gladiator.
Marcus Aurelius would be lucky to be that ripped. He would have been undefeated, but I digest.
He wouldn't have gotten choked out by Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator.
Good point.
Which is pretty much how he went down.
Well, they stabbed him, too, backstage,
yeah,
and that's he weakened
right.
him. They
well,
had a weakening
that's
coach.
Gladiator, but at the beginning, when Joaquin Phoenix killed his dad, Marcus Aurelius was all weak and old and frail.
Good
he
call.
Said he was going to give the throne to Maximus
right.
Decimus Aurelius.
Right.
Joaquin Phoenix couldn't handle it.
Couldn't.
What was his name in that?
Yeah,
his
he killed
was,
his daddy. You're right.
Commodus. Commodus is not a moral man. So he killed Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah.
If Marcus Aurelius looked like you, Marcus Aurelius is not getting choked out by a pillow.
No chance.
You busy little bees, what have you been up to?
Wow. Look at you. Gladiator. Who knew?
Gladiator yes. quotes ready.
I had no idea. That's awesome.
Pay
film.
The under. Did not think that was coming.
No, but when you sue the league low and when you get a deal, a sweetheart deal, by the way, to move to Las Vegas, there's a certain price that comes with it. So the Raiders roadshow will continue. Now, do they deserve to play on an 80-yard swamp in Winnipeg? Absolutely not. But let's not forget that the National Football League doesn't care about its players. And this is example number 1,744, where we're going to make our money. You guys go ahead and go out there and do what you do. By the way, avoid that big hole in the end zone
right.
if you can.
How does that happen? You knew that game was coming. I'm just confused as to how, like, Winnipeg, I'm assuming that's where their Canadian Football League team plays.
It is, the Blue Bombers.
Aren't we in CFL season right now?
And that's why you have to move
how
the goalpost.
How are they caught off guard?
And that's why there's a hole that's created, because the goalpost is in a different spot, because the end zones are 15 yards deep. So you're going to have a different hole for the different goalposts for the NFL. And obviously, you didn't fill the hole in correctly, or it became a sinkhole and it became a hazard.
But Nims,
again,
but
we're driving a car around Mars and we can't handle a goalpost in Canada.
Dibs, don't you think that the league has a little bit of money? It's only a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Sure.
Don't you think they would have flew some people? Why would you not just say, you know what? We're going to send our health guys over. We're going to send a staff. And they're going to go and supervise these stadiums. Why would you not do that? It's too
because
easy
to do.
Because
they don't care.
Yes. Doesn't an advanced crew go out to make sure everything's okay?
Why not? Why
because
not?
They don't care, Lo. What happens with the first
game? What about
game?
The fans? And what about the players? And what about everyone else who takes that trip? And these people that are spending money to watch a product, and it's not even a kickoff. They didn't even get cheated out of a game.
Do you
I get
think the
it.
NFL,
the NFL
cares,
should care.
But they don't, Lo. And that's the saddest part.
Charlie Chapman, New York, you know what?
Where is the first game of the preseason played each and every year? It's played in Canton, if I'm not mistaken. And that field, we know already for next August, it's going to be a joke. That field is an unsafe bog, yet we slot our first game of the year there because it's a special time. Pro Football Hall of Fame. They don't care about the condition of the players or the condition of the field. All they care about is money, and you saw it again yesterday.
I was so messed up trying to watch that game. Spoiler, I had money on it. I bet the Raiders, and I'm tracking this, and they got that lead. They're up 10-7, and then it's just bang, bang, two big Green Bay touchdowns. That Raider backup defense is getting destroyed by some kid named Boyle. I don't know, Dan Boyle from the New York Rangers, Brian Boyle. I got no idea what the hell's going on out there.
Sure.
But this guy looks like Montana, leading them up and down the field. And I'm trying to come back in this game. So you're watching closely, but every time anyone's getting near the goal line, I don't know what's happening. I have no idea. Like, a team's on the 11, and it's like, all right, you know, try to get five here.
Right.
Guys running through the back of the end zone, which turns out to be the 10. I was so confused. There was never a point last night where I felt as if I had the situation under control as to where they were supposed to be and what I was even rooting for. I was so messed up.
I was out when the game started, and I had them turn it on, and I caught a little bit of the pregame, and I looked away. All of a sudden, I looked up, and they were starting with the ball. I said, did I miss the kickoff? And the person I was with said, it must have been a touchback like they all are.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense.
It was getting older.
Yeah, there you have it.
They had a couple beers.
They make a field goal. I'm waiting for the next kickoff. There's no kickoff, coach.
It was crazy because all of a sudden you see the offensive lineman just walk on the field. And you know, you see that kickoff, and they're just standing there like practice. You're like, okay, getting ready to hike the ball, go up there. You're like, man. But I tell you, the Keyshawn Dixon, the cornerback from the Raiders, I know you have made some money, number 38. Free agent, undrafted guy, dude, Joe, baller. If we get a chance to watch him, Keyshawn Dixon, cornerback number 38. I was just, because I did watch the game too. The dude was playing lights out corner, great technique, good little kid. He's going to make the team. 38.
Okay, keep an eye on that.
Keyshawn Dixon, like the kid.
Gruden's got him playing.
He does.
I'll give him this. There are two very different approaches that have emerged in the modern era of preseason football. Number one is what you see from, say, the Philadelphia Eagles, which is, we don't care about any of this. No one's playing. We're not going to score any points. We're just trying to work on some things, figure out the bottom half of the roster, and that's it. Same thing from the Atlanta Falcons, the Rams, the Dallas Cowboys. They couldn't care less. Then there are teams like the Raiders, the Dolphins, to an extent. It's generally teams that are a little bit worse that are out there trying to win. And some might say, well, why are you trying to win these games? Establishing a winning culture, right? Good habits.
Yep.
And at the very least, you can say whatever you want about these games. The Raiders are 3-0 straight up. They're 3-0 against the spread. Gruden was excited last night. People, oh, why is he getting so excited? It's preseason. They're winning. He was embarrassed last year, and it's been embarrassing for a while. You can't start winning in the regular season unless you have a winning attitude, a mindset, a winning culture, and at the very least, get something like that out of the preseason. Go win these games. I appreciate what they're doing. End of that game, you could have just taken some knees. All right, let's get the hell out of Canada. Let's get through customs. Let's bring our cigars back, and we're going to be fine. But they went down and they tried to win. And then Green Bay tried to make a couple plays at the end, too. So shout out the backups.
You're absolutely right. And that's why this is a team that I'm going to bet that over, that said in the seven wins. They're still against the world. You talk about Gruden. You talk about this Raider team, Joe. You're right. They are a team out of the whole league. Gruden is a prideful man. We all know how arrogant he is. I know they say pride before the fall, but they got some pride for guys on that team. I know they got a lot of no names. I get that.
A lot of no names.
But you got some guys that are some effort guys on that team. And if you watch them, they're like the Bad News Bears. No one's giving them a chance. Gruden is a prideful man. He thinks he's a great coach. He believes that he can win, and he doesn't care. You see how the way that he thinks. Traded Khalil Mack, traded Amari Cooper. He knows how everyone views him. He knows how everyone views his team. He knows the league has stacked the deck against him. He's trying to get that whole team and that organization to believe that. And that's why, for those reasons, I'm thinking this team can hit that over because it's them against the world.
One of the things I appreciate about his approach, as well as some of these other coaches, is when they lose or when things go south, I like seeing them upset and mad. Not because I get some sick pleasure out of it. I like it when things aren't going your way. You're not just walking around, ho-hum, Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, ho-hum, Andy Reid sometimes in Kansas City, oops. You know, what are we going to, oops, we'll get them next time. No, I want to know that when things aren't going well and when you're getting your teeth kicked in a little bit, you're actually pissed about it.
Right.
That you're actually mad. They may actually chew someone's head off because you want to win. I like to see that emotion, good and bad. Last night, they're celebrating that win. Obviously biased because they end up covering the spread. But still, at the same time, good. You went up there. You had to play on this 80-yard field. You had to risk injury, which, you know, a lot of the, man, if a dude rips his knee up on something like that, or, you know, it's not like anyone's going to be there to take care of them. You have the guaranteed portion of your contract, and that's it. And that's only for the injury portion. That's it. So just getting out of there healthy for most guys, good on them. You're in, you're out. Season's right around the corner. Just do what you need to do to get there. Monday night opener against Denver.
Yeah, and it looks good for the Denver game because that's one you have to win. It's a late start, 7:40, the second half of that now traditional Monday night doubleheader. But then you host the Chiefs on the dirt. You go to Minnesota, you go to Indy, then you have the Bears. If you don't get that Denver game, you might be looking at an 0-5 start for this Raider team. And that's why, Lo, I'm not going on the over 7 wins because the schedule is not kind.
I think it's 6. I think the total's 6.
Oh, is it 6?
Yeah.
Now you take it?
No, I'm still going under, quite frankly. I mean, if we want to
go over.
If you want to go through the skill position guys, your number one running back is a rookie out of Alabama. Alabama running backs have a checkered history.
You're right.
Your top wide receiver might be Hunter Renfrow out of Clemson. We don't know if the rookie can get separation.
I don't think tight ends
are giant question marks.
Do you think the rookie's going to start running back?
I think he will, yeah. Josh Jacobs?
I think, honestly, the Raiders have those two other backs that they have, Jalen Richard.
In Washington? I mean, it'd be nice if finally those two were able to, like, Washington was a guy we liked out of Texas Tech.
And you've been
like,
and he's had some, I mean, they played, you saw Washington, Richard, he catch the ball in the back, but they've been always pretty good, decent guys for the Raiders.
Yeah, pretty good, decent. You're right about that. They're pieces, but I'm not going to hitch my wagon to a piece joined with a rookie and an offensive line that's a question mark and skill guys that, to me, aren't that overwhelming. I'm going under, Coach.
I got some good news. I got some real good news.
Under 6, wow.
Do you know that tomorrow we have not one but two college football games we can wager upon?
Tomorrow?
Miami and Florida. Get there as your little entree. And then, oh, by the way, here comes Arizona and Hawaii. We got a Hawaii game tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Break out the lays.
I haven't did one bet yet, Joe. I'm not having.
Lay the touchdown with Florida. I'm going to give you that one.
Okay.
I don't have much of a feel for the Hawaii game. I know a guy who's really smart. He likes the idea of laying the points with Arizona. I'm passing along his information.
Okay.
Very smart guy. I'm laying it with Florida.
Okay.
I like Florida tomorrow. I'm coming out freaking swinging.
Are you?
Don't cover Monday morning, I'm going to be in here all haggard
and
upset.
I'll let you know, too.
Yeah, I don't know what you have to wager, Lo. You certainly can't bet the shirt on your own back.
Wouldn't want to lose that towel.
Though? Don't you think that's enough?
Good.
Towel around
it's
the
a walk-off.
Anna!
It's a walk-off. Dibs is walk-off brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Kyle Shanahan's plan. for Jimmy Garoppolo tomorrow in Kansas City. That's coming up next. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
I didn't change. You need to wear a shirt. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Thursday night preseason games were eventful, to say the least. The Raiders and Packers played on an 80-yard field due to poor field conditions. Most of the stars didn't even play. How embarrassing is this for the NFL? Joe Lo and Dibs will ask Hall of Famer Rod Woodson at 8 a.m. and Cam Newton suffered his in his game. He left, you know, walking boots. So how much do we want to see Jimmy Garoppolo play in Kansas City tomorrow? Kyle Shanahan laid out a plan for Jimmy G in the final two exhibition games. The guys will discuss the plan and talk to former NFL great Joe Theismann at 8:30 plus. What can we expect out of the 49ers on a short week? Radio.com NFL insider Mike Lombardi will hop on at 9:30. And don't miss a single one of those interviews. Take 95.7 The Game on the go. Download the Radio.com app today. Giants are now six back in the wild card race after getting swept in Wrigley, while the A's swept the Yankees, now tied in the wild card race. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. I'm Anna Kagarakis on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
It's Joe, it's Lo, it's Dibs. It's 95.7 The Game. As always, you can hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. We will begin this segment with 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. What's the plan for Jimmy Garoppolo tomorrow in Kansas City?
I would like them to get a whole half in, you know, but sometimes halves can be 20 plays. Sometimes they can be 45. So it's more about the play count, but you'd like them to get a normal half in. And if they do, depending on how you start with the ball, how many series you get, if you feel good about it, we'd like to not put them back out in the third quarter. But if you don't feel good and you don't feel like they got the reps, that's always an option.
This has been an interesting point of conversation throughout the course of the week. Do you send him back out for the third or not? It seems like every former player, you of course, and everyone else we've had on says, send him back out. Because guys go into the locker room, they get a little cool, they start to shut down a little bit. Send him back out. See how they respond after they have to go through a normal halftime. Do you like the idea of Garoppolo playing in the third?
I do. I do, and I think that you look at it and it could help the team. I think this is a big game for Jimmy. I mean, this is an opportunity for him to go out there and right the wrong, and he understands that. I know it's 10 plays, but how the 10 plays look. The 10 plays were ferocious. Let's be real. It should have been one pick six. It should have been three interceptions, three INT. Didn't. He got lucky on a couple of them. He didn't play well. Looked happy feet and all those things. And everyone says, and you know, you hear Kyle Shanahan in his presser yesterday, and he's talking about, well, everyone's in the media, they're worried, and everyone else. You know what? Kyle Shanahan's not being real with himself, and that's one thing I love about him. He is going to support his players, and every head coach should. He is going to act like it's not, no alarm, and you should, because you don't want to send panic throughout the room, and you don't want to send panic throughout the team, because that's your emotional leader, your quarterback. You says it starts and falls with the quarterback. We understand that. It's a quarterback-driven league, and you got to have decent quarterback play to great quarterback play if you want to go deep in the playoffs or to win a Super Bowl. So you can't necessarily go out there and say, oh, it's just, you can't say, oh, he's horrible, this guy, we got to make sure we get him protection and all those things. He can't go out and just demonize the team right away and do that stuff, because then you take away hope. You alluded to it earlier. You said that the reason why you love what the Raiders are doing, because he's playing guys and he's playing to win, because he's building confidence and he's changing a culture. A lot of these teams, the Miami Dolphins, all these teams are out here. By the way, you see them playing hard. You think the Baltimore Ravens are 16-0 in preseason games.
By the way, yeah, blindly betting John Harbaugh in the preseason. I think they've won like 15 straight against the spread.
Yes.
And blindly betting against Atlanta, I believe they've lost 14 straight right. against the spread.
Wow.
There are some preseason trends you don't even have to think. These are bets you don't even have to think
You're
about.
You're right.
The Ravens are killing people in the preseason.
Yes, because Harbaugh, he's going to make sure his team is physical. That's why you always bet him early in the season. He is going to have his team buttoned up, and they're going to be ready to play early. That's just his makeup, who his whole family is. His whole family's like that. That's why those teams always have success, and they're in the thick of things. But getting back to the Niners, yeah, he can't say that. But in behind closed doors, he's got to be able to say, hey, Jimmy, you got to pick it up. Let's go. He's got to be able to say, hey, you're the leader. You're the guy. Hey, you want these guys to follow you. You got to play better. He knows that. And yes, it's preseason. I get that. If that was a regular season game and those first 10 plays were like that and he continued to struggle, every headline, everything would have been leading the same way, and he would have handled it the same way. Jimmy is our guy and all those different things. But they know behind closed doors, Jimmy Garoppolo himself, the coaching staff, the players, receivers, the linemen, everyone knows that they got to play better. And it starts with him. He has to make sure that he plays better to get the team and especially that offense going.
Dibs, not only is that strong analysis right there, but he is wearing a shirt as opposed to how he started the show. Good luck following that up. I'm not setting you up. I've got nothing.
No. Don't know me.
He looked strong and he sounded strong.
No, it's great. And I was telling him during the break, he looks slimmer than ever. I don't know if he's been this slim since he left the league some 10 or 11 years ago.
Baltimore Lowe's coming back. The scariest Baltimore picture Lowe? Of Lowe Baltimore is Joe? Baltimore Lowe. The one that it has him without his helmet on. He's in the all black.
Yeah.
All
I
black.
Was jacked.
Yeah,
I was
it's
jacked.
The scariest Lowe photo of all
His
of
Raider photo is pretty impressive, jacked too, at the same time. But
is that when he was hurting his hamstring in the preseason?
That was actually right before the hamstring.
Yeah. Before it popped, I was jacked, all swole.
You're not quite down.
What was he doing? No. Stretching?
Just, you know, getting loose. He had the eye black on.
He didn't play any games for Raiders.
I had to single it on. Yeah, the first week, Dallas. Dallas got one preseason. That's just all
As a 17-year vet, they sent you out there in the preseason?
You still went for like a quarter.
A cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But
you would think after 16 years of service, you might not need to play in preseason game number one.
Well, they weren't that good. We weren't that good, Joe. So, you know, newsflash.
And this, you know,
all starters playing all quarters in the preseason.
Stop, Joe.
We got to have
Stop,
it.
Stop, man.
Who was your coach with the Raiders that year?
Oh, Tommy. Tommy Cable.
That was Tom Cable. Yeah. Okay, that was the 8-8. We're not losers anymore year.
Okay. Hugh Jackson just said that yesterday, by the way, too. He was in an interview where he goes, I'm not a loser. And then he lays out all the reasons how he hates losing and how he's not a loser. And it's like, Don't say that, because it was like Sports Illustrated. Okay. He was trying to explain. Because everyone wants to know what Hugh thinks. Like, this was the team he was supposed to be riding into the new era with, and they left him behind, and then all of a sudden they got better. Hugh Jackson, I'm not a loser.
Yeah, it's a tough
one. I'm not a crook. I'd rather be, I'm not a crook. It's like, well, yeah, you are, but at least there's some, you know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're a crook, maybe you're not. I'm not a loser. I've seen the record.
Yeah.
Also, you don't want to ever have to defend that.
No, you don't.
Like, I'm not an idiot. Well, if you had to bring that up, you're probably an idiot.
Odds are. Turns out Nixon was a crook in that, you know, he commandeered his little personal army to invade the Watergate Hotel, but that's neither here nor there. Boy, what a day that was. I'll never forget it.
Get those tapes.
Yeah, Jimmy G, he's got to play more than just a half. You've said, Lowe, and so many other former players about the third quarter restart, going back out there after the 15-minute break at halftime and having another series, I think that's important as well. I was listening to Adam Kaplan yesterday, who's our radio.com football insider here on 95.7 The Game. He was on with Damon and the crew in the afternoon, and he was mentioning how players, quarterbacks, coming off of ACL injuries, don't necessarily burst out of the gate. You remember Carson Palmer, Tommy Brady started slow.
Tommy Brady, the greatest.
Yeah. Of course, Carson Wentz, when he came back off of his ACL. So as we're all gearing up for Jimmy G to get rolling right away, you may want to pump the brakes a little bit on Jimmy G coming out in week one and throwing for 340.
I'm 1,000% with you. And that's what that's my
You've been like that from the beginning?
From the beginning. This is not me changing horses. And this is me. That's what I'm saying. There should be – we should come out and pump our brakes. And I hope that Kyle Shanahan and the staff is listening, which I think they are. Because you heard Kyle Shanahan yesterday talk about the media and the talking shows. And if he is listening, I hope he understands that we're saying – we understand – Jimmy is a good quarterback. None of us is saying he's a great quarterback. And Kyle Shanahan is not saying he's a great quarterback. We all think that he's good to average quarterback. We understand he's hurt coming off a knee injury, and everyone understands that. So if Shanahan understands that, and what you laid out, if Cal was listening yesterday about Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback arguably that ever played, him and Joe Montana.
Not arguably, it's Brady. I don't even think we need to say that anymore. It's okay.
Okay.
You can go ahead and just say Tom.
Okay. So Tommy Brady, if you look at what happened to Tommy, didn't play well after he came off the knee injury. Carson Palmer, all these guys. If that's the case, if that happened with those guys, some of these guys are Hall of Famers, why the hell do you think that this guy should just come out and play lights out? And if the team is in a tight game in Tampa, and you're down by three, and he's played three quarters, that's the reason why that he can look and say, hey, Jimmy is still our guy, and I can still go to him. Because of his knee and because he's not playing well, you still have it's a totally different situation than if he was 100% healthy.
Timing. Timing's your issue here. Timing's the issue for everybody. You're thinking with the head. That's what you should be thinking, and that's what you need your coach thinking like. The problem is that the fan base is ready. A lot of people are ready. It was supposed to pop last year. He got hurt. Okay, people, once again, Niner fans had to step back again and taper expectations. They again had to have the conversation, well, do we tank? What do we do? Hopefully Mullins plays well so we can trade him. All that nonsense at the end of the year. Too much focus on the draft. You think they focus on the draft in New England as much as we focus on the draft here?
No.
No, absolutely not. So people are excited. He's coming back healthy. There's been no incident or report about the knee flaring up like McKinnon or anything else. The preseason game was alarming, but people are just ready. They're ready. And when the schedule came out in April, you looked at Tampa and you're like, that's winnable. You saw Cincinnati, you're like, that's winnable. Then you're looking at Pittsburgh. Well, at least it's at home, right? First home game. Then a bye, then a Monday nighter with Cleveland. And you start to think maybe this could be the year that we wait for it, contend. Just contend, not win a Super Bowl. So finally, you're starting to get excited and you're kind of blocking out information you should be taking in. Confirmation bias is what a lot of people will refer to this as. Confirmation bias, one thing it's talked about a lot in, if you have an opinion of something, right? If you have an opinion of a political leader or you have an opinion of a team, the Niners are going to be great this year. I believe the Niners are going to be great. You're going to be more likely, due to confirmation bias, to accept information that supports that thought. Right? So if I'm coming out, Niners are going to be great. Niners are going to be great. I'm telling everyone Niners are going to be great. And then Nick Bosa goes out and has two sacks in his first preseason game. That's yet another reason why they're going to be great. You know, maybe it came against the third unit. You're not willing to look at that. That's what confirmation bias is, right? Looking, intentionally looking for information to support where you're at rather than sitting back and just taking in all the relevant information. And this is what's happening with Niner fans. This is what's happening with me. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm too excited about the start of the season. This is going to be, you and I are coming up on 5 years working together. Dibs, we're all coming up on 3 years together. We have never had relevant football. We've never had it. We've had nothing but great basketball, but you and I have never in 5 years talked about relevant football outside the Raiders when Carr broke his leg. And then, you know, they didn't, there was no hype anyway.
Right.
We've never done it. Never. So excited about it. You see some of these things and you're just willing to cast them off. You're willing to take the negative and you're willing to say, it's not that big a deal. And you take all the positive moments and you glob onto them. That's the difference. You're thinking with your head, emotion is creeping in for a lot of other people. But you make a fair point. That's exactly it. The idea of going into week one and thinking he could look sloppy and skittish, that's not unreasonable.
Right.
Coming off a knee injury. People like Adrian Peterson, though, they ruined that for us. So again, confirmation bias. Well, Peterson came back in a few months. Everything should be fine. He's the exception. He's
baby
not the
knee.
Rule, right? He's got the baby knee.
Got the baby knee.
Nobody's got the baby knee. I got a baby who doesn't have baby knees.
Right.
Dude,
right?
He's got the knees of a toddler.
Yeah.
The poor newborn. He's got the knees of a 2-year-old.
So, you know.
Poor guy's already run down. The 2-year-old has the knees of a 5-year-old.
2-year-old shredded. Like, I don't know where this 2-year-old, he walks around. He's potty training. So he's essentially naked 98% of the time, just walking around the house, just doing his thing. Shredded.
And you got him out of the diapers, dude. Congrats. That is big. That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean your wife. But
shout
you
out Nikki.
Guys,
it's not really. I kind of oversee a very small portion of
the
it.
The fact that he's out is out, kid.
Yeah.
Well, out is okay. Out.
We're not fully into, you know, they're still the standing there, just
sure.
A nice little stream onto the floor. Oh, no, remember. Got to go over here. Oh, yeah. Don't worry, I'll clean this up.
Yeah.
You go do your thing, and you'll get your M&Ms as a reward, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
You get M&Ms for everything. Nothing but participation trophies in the Fortinball household.
Man, if I got M&Ms every time I win, I'd have diabetes by lunchtime.
Worst part is every time he gets one, I'm taking two for myself. So, yeah, I'm on my way to diabetes. I've achieved nothing.
Shoot, I just
What's
know.
With the participation trophy?
Right. Well you'll see. Yeah, you'll see.
Fillmore Mike. Let's bring him in real quick.
I love this guy.
Fillmore Mike, welcome to the show. Thanks for waiting on hold. What's going on? What are you thinking?
Shanahan answer is so soft and so 2019. It's crazy. You're going to say, I think I kind of wanted to play the half. Man, if you want him to play the half, make him say he played a half. He's coming out in the third. For one, and for two, you're going to say, well, you know, sometimes plays can be 25. Man, I'm sick of that whack. I'm too smart for the room answer, man. This guy, Shanahan, he's a great play caller. But as far as, like, being like, bro, you got to take rank. You the coach. You the head coach. Garoppolo should be playing into the third. Who is he? A guy with a cute name and that had sex with a porn star? Man, come on, man. Let's go. I'm out.
All right.
You have a great show.
Thank you, Fillmore Mike.
The best.
Fillmore Mike.
Early in the morning,
best.
But he's hot. Shanahan's doing what all the coaches do. When you try to bet the preseason, try to let me know what time you find out whether or not the starters are going.
Right.
No one's given any information out. Yesterday, you didn't know about Aaron Rodgers to the last second. Do you know most people didn't even realize that like 30 Raiders didn't even travel? It came out right before. Hey, by the way, like Arden Key and all these guys didn't even travel. What?
Yeah.
I need that info.
Right.
Right. All right, let it marinate. We're going to come back with more. Open up the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Do you like the approach Shanahan's taking for preseason game number 3 with Jimmy Garoppolo? Play a half? Do you think he should play 3 quarters? Who do you want playing with them? All that stuff. 888-957-9570. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
How does Shanahan call plays tomorrow in Kansas City? We're talking about how long Garoppolo plays, how long the starters play, whether or not they come out after the half. How do you script your plays tomorrow? Do you think he takes a different approach based on what he saw from Garoppolo in Denver?
Absolutely he does, but at the same sense, I think that he gets everyone involved, get everyone involved early. You can't wait to the second and third quarter and throw the young boys in, especially the herd and the way that DJ Samuels is playing. You cannot say, I'm just going to put them with the twos. No, you can't do it. They have to have success playing against the ones. They need to know, yeah, they've done it at practice, but now they need to know they can do it against Kansas City, a team that's probably going to win the AFC, a team that's favored to win the AFC. They're going to play their starters. This is a good measuring stick, a great barometer for those young guys to see how physical and see how they're going to play in a loud place, a hostile environment, see how their offensive tackles, because Big Joe didn't play as well as he should. That offensive line needs to be buttoned up a lot better. They need to play a lot better. They need to line up, and they need to come out, and you'll see those guys. Okay, you either watch them run to the double. Look for them to run to the bubble starting off the game. The bubble means the guy who's uncovered. There's usually, if it's an over defense, one of the guards are going to be covered. So you run to the bubble, meaning that now the guard in the center is going to block down on the nose and ace up to the middle linebacker. Look for him to have a check with me play early to run the ball. I don't see him coming out necessarily throwing first play if it is. Maybe it's a bubble screen. It's catch, pick, get the ball, Jimmy G, grab it, and throw it right to the receiver. Quick little bubble screen. Let him have some success doing that. And then you'll have a run, whether it's a run or a pass. So you want Jimmy G to have success early, but you want him to be confident. And if you're going to throw the long ball early, Joe, make sure you throw it where no one else could catch it. Throw it to the outside shoulder. Let's see if he can do those things. Okay, Jimmy, we're going to throw it, you know, third play of the game, we're going to throw a bomb. But you know what? You just make sure you don't throw an interception. Outside shoulder, so the sideline's there to help you. You're not throwing an interception. So do those things for this guy. Give him some confidence, but also come out, show dominance, show that you're going to belong. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the offense go out and execute and just don't put the defense behind the eight ball starting the game.
How complicated is this game knowing this is where Garoppolo got hurt last year? Do you think there's a mental hurdle he's got to overcome going through Arrowhead?
Absolutely, without a doubt. And Lowe could speak to this better than anybody as far as places where you either played poorly or you got hurt. When you go back to that scene, there's no doubt that you have those sort of deja vu experiences that crop up. I think the good news for Jimmy G is he's got bigger fish to fry. It's not like he's going in week 11 where he's already all the way back and playing great, and this is the last thing that he has to get over. He's got a lot of things that he has to worry about beyond the fact that he got hurt at Arrowhead. He's got to find his game. He's got to find his stroke, his comfort zone. The offense has got to hum. The O-line, like Lowe said, they've got to pick up their game. And then, oh, by the way, he might have a play where he's down near that 10 or 15-yard line where he got hurt again. And then maybe that bubbles up. But, Lowe, I think he's got 8 or 9 other issues that are going to be top of mind as opposed to, wow, this is where I got hurt.
Yeah, he does. And also, he's got to be thinking about, and you know that, Joe, this guy's going to be thinking about also, what did everyone say about you? Because you heard his interview. I don't know if we have his presser, but he talked about, well, you can turtle up, you can crawl into a hole.
I got the quote. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
This is Garoppolo speaking to the media yesterday. Quote, it's one of those things you could react two ways to. You can crumble up and go into the fetal position and surrender, or you can go out and fight. We got a locker room full of guys that want to fight, myself included.
There you go. And that's him saying, okay, Jimmy, let's go. I can crumble up or I can go out and fight. Which do I choose to do? And that's a mental. That starts above the shoulders. That's not a physical. That's mental. So he's saying to himself, and he's telling guys and telling the media, I can crumble up and listen to what everyone is saying, or I can go out here and play the way that I think that, and I believe that I'm capable of playing, that what I've shown the flashes of, that when I'm on, I'm pretty good. When I'm on, I know that I can win ball games. If I'm on, I know I can make others around me better. If I'm on, people will follow me. So he's saying that he's got to get that going because he needs to do that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Jimmy's wondering what people are saying too. Just like when you say, well, no, he's not. Well, you saw even an incident. It wasn't even an incident. He's having fun. He's living his life. He has a girlfriend and people start talking about it and he had to address it. Why? Because people are talking and he's a human being. You are still people that go, oh, football players and sports guys, athletes, they don't have emotions. Bull crap. They have emotions. They cry. They poo. They do it all just like everyone else.
Poo not newsflash. So much an emotion as it is a, you know, just bodily function.
Yeah, so they have all those things that go along with it. So it's not like these guys are not beyond reproach. So he's thinking the same way. And the offense need to hum. We understand that, and I'm looking forward to it. But, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm more looking forward to seeing what the defense can do, too. Is this defense is going to have their hands full, Joe? We got to, I know we're all on Jimmy G, but I'm telling you, this is a complete ball. Both sides of the ball we need to be looking at. Your little punter that you're talking about is that you want to see.
Wisnowski.
He's my
guy.
You're going to get his jersey. I want to see what he can do because you're going to play
Don't
Kansas
worry about him. He's
a button up.
He's got it figured out.
Okay,
he's probably the most bankable guy on the team.
As long
right
as
now.
They keep the goal line at the goal line and not at the 10-yard line. Those poor punters last night. You're trying to go coffin corner and you're kicking it inside the 10, but it's really the goal line. You talk about hallucinating. If you're a punter, that must have been a total mind trick.
Mind trick.
All night.
All night.
That's
I'm telling you, it's like I was on, like I had licked the frog.
Yeah.
What do they say? Don't lick the toad.
Lick the frog.
That's what it was like. They're throwing. You see these receivers running for the back corner. What are you doing? You're 10 yards out of the end zone. Quarterbacks are throwing the back. Right. It's like, how do we even evaluate this properly?
Right.
Thank God most of them got out of there. No serious injuries or anything like that. But you're right. You're right. The story going into tomorrow is going to be Garoppolo. And the reality is you're going up against the NFL MVP.
Right.
You're going up against a really, really scary offense. I mean, those guys last year, they were number one in like every metric conceivable from an offensive perspective. They ranked like 26th in terms of time of possession. They did not need much time to work.
Right.
They could destroy you.
Destroy you.
From 80 yards out in a matter of seconds. That's how scary this is. So while we're going to go into tomorrow fixated on how's Garoppolo going to look, can the offensive line give him a clean pocket so he doesn't get skittish, he can actually have some time to get comfortable. That defense, man.
Thank you.
When you see the corners coming out there tomorrow trying to man up, when you're trying to get after Patrick Mahomes, they might not play a lot knowing Andy Reid, but those moments you have, this is a real measuring stick game.
Yeah, and you're not going to have Nicky Bosa. We know that, and he is reportedly 50-50 for week one at 50-50. Tampa Bay. Yes.
That's, where's that from?
The report came out yesterday. I believe the general manager might have had some comments to the effect that he's going to be about 50-50. D Ford probably won't play this weekend. Quan Alexander is still working his way back. So to Lowe's point, about even though it's a preseason game, you don't want to watch your defense go out there and get torched, and you're not going to have a lot of your ones tomorrow anyway.
And without a doubt, though, Kansas City is going to stretch the ball down the field. You want to open it up? You want to see what you got? Kansas City playing at home. They're like, okay, Patty, you only going to play one series? All right, guys, let's score. When you go out there and you know you got 12 or 15 plays, you say, let's go get it. If you knew you was only going to play a quarter, you're like, look, let's be crisp. Let's be sharp. Let's go out here and show the guys, hey, let's only play a quarter. Let's only play a half. Let's go. If we're going to do that, let's make sure that coach don't make Andy Reid or don't have our coach wanting to put us back in the third quarter if we go out here and blow these guys out. So look for those guys to be aggressive, too. I want to see how the defense, see how Richard Sherman can get these guys ready to play because this is a bigger moment. This isn't going to be a bigger stage. This will be the largest preseason game that they play in this year.
And maybe the last preseason game that they play in, quite frankly. You know, because Fred Warner didn't play in week two. He will play in week three. And Sherman won't play in the final one. Warner probably won't. We know Bosa won't. So this is probably it for them.
Is there anything Garoppolo can do tomorrow that would lead you to believe he shouldn't play in the fourth preseason game? Or are you of the mindset that he needs all the reps he can get? And while he might not play as much in the fourth preseason game, he should play some?
He won't play. I think that's a – and for me personally, I think it's a stupid rule. I'm not a stupid rule. Stupid
approach.
Unwritten rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fourth game, guys don't want to play. They can get hurt. Look, if my guy needs work and if I need work, play. It's football. It's what you want to do. It's what you've been prone to do. And if you're rusty and you don't have confidence – play. You don't got to be just.
But you're not going to be playing with the other starters, right? Does that concern you then that maybe.
But if Jimmy G went out there and tonight he didn't play as well as he'd like, and he went to Kyle Shanahan and say, Coach, can I talk to the team? And he says, yeah. And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell him that right now, Coach, I would love for my starters to come out and play in week four. Just give me one series, two series. I need to work on some stuff. Without a doubt, Kyle Shanahan, Dibs, you know it. They'll say, we need to play these guys. You're going to Tampa Bay. You need to find a way to win. And if your quarterback tells you, I need this, heading in before that fourth game, then I think that – and you still get to evaluate because we wouldn't play them in the whole a whole half or nothing like that. But it'd be one series. Who cares?
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Your guests for today are as follows. 1 hour from now, Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champ Rod Woodson. 8:30, Joe Theismann. 9:05, Michael Lombardi. And if you like Incubus or you want to see some music for free on behalf of your boys Joe Low and Dibs, today at 8:45, we've got Incubus tickets to give away. Every Friday, 8:45, some sort of giveaway, whether it's concert tickets or video games or whatever. Mark that down. Every Friday, 8:45. All right. It looks like it's over, or at least that was the prevailing theme and emotion that was being expressed on social media after yesterday afternoon's 1-0 defeat at Wrigley Field. Giants go down again. Giants get swept. Giants have lost 4 straight. That was a measuring stick series right there. Cubbies are a very tough team to beat at Wrigley this season, and the Giants found that out the hard way. A night after losing 12-11, they lose 1-0. Jeff Samardzija was sensational, as he's been since the beginning of July. 10 starts now since the beginning of July. The Giants are 7-3 in those games. Samardzija's got an ERA of 2 flat. He's working deep into games. He's keeping runners out of scoring position. He has done an excellent job for this team since the beginning of July, providing perhaps some hope for next season that the rotation won't be as big of a problem as we originally thought. However, it becomes more daunting now that you realize in the month of August, the Giants are 8-12. They're 1-7 against playoff teams. They got swept by the Nationals, swept by the Cubs, and they split with the A's. And they're going to take on the A's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. More on that in just a moment. But are we now of the belief that given you're 21.5 out for the division, 1 behind Arizona for 2nd in the division, 7.5 back of Washington for the first wild card, 6 back of the Cubs for the 2nd wild card, with the Mets, Phillies, Brewers, and Diamondbacks between you and the postseason, are we of the belief now that it's pretty much over?
Yes, pretty much over. Mathematically, there's a glimmer of hope, but we were talking about the FanGraphs percentage chance of them making the playoffs, and at one point it had almost reached 10% at the fever pitch in July, as you were mentioning, and now it's back down below 1% again, which is to say...
Below 1%?
Yeah, I believe it's 0.8 or 0.7. You've got just a sliver of hope, and it's not only because you got swept, and you mentioned what you've done against the contenders, 1-6 in your past 7 against Washington, the A's, and the Cubs, which is troubling that you're not beating the good teams, but also you're falling further behind them. The fact that there's multiple teams, what, 4 teams between you and the 2nd card and your 6 out, and it appears that you're starting to regress back toward the mean, I think it's safe to say that this thing is about done.
So Marge has looked quite solid, though. It's amazing that as the wheels fall off the bus for the team, the guy with one of the biggest question marks surrounding him entering the season has been the most bankable. WAR, wins above replacement. It's a value metric. Some feel it's the metric that points to how valuable a player truly is, that it's the best metric for determining value. Jeff Samardzija has the highest WAR on this team at 2.3. Bumgarner, Longoria, and Yastrzemski are all tied for 2nd at 2.2. 7 innings yesterday against a good Cubs lineup at Wrigley, gave up just 2 hits, 1 run, 4 strikeouts with 1 walk. 2 or fewer earned runs in 9 of his last 10 outings. Like I said, he's working deep into games, and since the start of July, 10 starts, Giants are 7-3, 2 flat ERA. I don't know if this guy is going to be the guy that's pitching next year with the Samardzija letters on the back of the jersey, but if it's close to this, and Bumgarner's back, and Cueto's healthy, suddenly, you've got a 3-man rotation that if you can find some young guys to round out the 5-man rotation, the rotation, which seems to be a word I'm using quite a bit in this monologue, isn't as big of a problem as we originally thought.
Right, and Logan Webb, I think, is the most intriguing piece of those young pitchers. He threw 5 innings in his debut, and he looked pretty darn good. Now, he probably won't start for the next couple of series because they have some off days sprinkled in. The Giants can go to a 4-man rotation if they'd like. But it's interesting what you say about next year, because Johnny Cueto will be pitching for this team. A couple more rehab starts in AAA. You'll see him in September. If you re-sign Madison Bumgarner as a qualifying offer in the offseason and he doesn't go into free agency and you keep Samardzija, you feel like you've got a pretty good top three. But if you get to the deadline next year, assuming they stay with this one singular deadline, Jeff Samardzija, if he pitches like this, all of a sudden becomes a big-time trade piece at the deadline next year, even though he would be in the last year of his deal.
Two games against Oakland this weekend. It's going to be at the Coliseum. Bumgarner versus Bassett Saturday, Beedy versus Anderson Sunday. A's are scorching hot. They take 3 of 4 from the Astros. They sweep the Yankees, which was just as embarrassing as it gets for New York, because you showed up as a favorite in all three of those games, and you didn't just get beat. You got waxed. You got waxed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.